stop.
Hello there, this is Lex and Stacy with Threesome Podcast. Dare I say it, Stacy, number 60? Is this 60?
That's amazing. It is.
Talk to me. Is it? Okay, good.
It is.
All right. We have spent 60 podcasts together, and they say that would never have happened. And by they, I mean me. Just kidding.
You naysayer, you.
This has been a labor of love. I've enjoyed this podcast very much.
Me too.
And we're picking up more and more downloads every day that goes by. It's awesome.
Yes.
There's a certain number of people that like us.
Yes.
I don't even know what's a good number on a podcast, so I'm just not going to say it. But it's growing. That's all I care about.
What I think is cool, you and I were talking about this the other day, because I can see, I don't obviously see exactly who is downloading, but I can see like locations and stuff. And there seems to be a growing number of people who are downloading that don't seem to be within like the Lex and Terry listening area. So it might be people that are just finding the podcast, but have no idea, for instance, like who you are because they've never heard the show.
Mm-hmm.
But just like the podcast. And I think that's pretty cool.
Area such as where?
I don't have the thing up right now. A lot out in California.
We were on in Bakersfield for a while, so maybe from around there.
Okay, fine. New Jersey.
Never on in New Jersey.
There we go. Hello, New Jersey people.
Fucking A. New Jersey. Sweet. And anywhere else?
And of course, anyone from Michigan. Michigan has no idea who you are, except for like the now two former military guys that I like am acquainted with who listened to Lex and Terry when they were stationed someplace else who now lives in Michigan.
That's fine. Fuck you, Michigan. You should be all over us.
Well, they should, but if they don't know who you are, you can't blame them.
If you like douchebags like Kid Rock and Ted Nugent, you should like us.
Yeah.
Wang dang, sweet poon tang.
It's for all that Nashville pussy!
Yeah. the greatest line ever. For all that Nashville pussy out there! Everybody's like, oh, God, did you just say that? You should be able to say that.
Now well, I told you that story, didn't I?
Now there's actually a band, Nashville Pussy.
Is there really?
Yeah, they just had their 10th anniversary.
Long ago, working in rock radio, it was during the afternoon drive, and I decided to play a live Ted Nugent, and I went with Wang Dang Sweet Poon Tang, and not realizing that, you know, right there at the beginning, he says, fuck yeah, this is for all that Nashville pussy.
Yeah.
And I just sat there in absolute horror, like in the middle of drive time, that, you know, he's swearing profusely. And then yes. My PD came in and said, you live in Michigan. How do you not know that he says that? I'm like, I know I'm a bad Michigan person.
Yeah, I mean, it's because you're in radio that you probably had an 8-track with it already out.
Yes. No, I can safely say that was, we had already, we were still changing our own CDs. They hadn't been put to computer yet, but it wasn't on carts or anything.
Yeah, I played something that had a bunch of fucks in it one night. I mean, it was just, it seemed like there was 500 fucks in the song, in the intro, you know, and it was like 12:30 in the morning, but still.
You've been so trained to not do that, yeah. So that you sit there in horror, and it's like that word just, Nashville pussy.
Yeah,
it's all so slow. It goes on forever. Yes.
Yeah, it's like the one time the owner of the station, you know, was in town and came into the studio while I'm on the air, and I have "Who are you?" on the radio. You know, and so it's like he's like, "So how's everything going?" And it's like, "Who the fuck are you? Are you who the fuck are you?" You know, I'm like, "Oh, Jesus Christ." He goes, the privilege of owning a rock station. I said, it's always been played. I guess it's okay. It's not now.
Janet Jackson ruined everything.
Because Janet Jackson's a bitch. But she is going on tour, and I think I want to see her.
And her ferocious nipples of doom.
Yeah, she's sexy. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. She is quite pretty. Out of the entire Jackson clan, she's the prettiest.
Yeah, the only problem is she kind of looks a lot like Michael. So that would creep me out to have sex with her.
Especially if she had a penis.
Yeah, she doesn't have a penis.
Do you know
there's no way you could tuck a penis in that shit she was wearing on stage. You'd have to.
It might have been a micro penis.
You'd have to take it off. No, a micro penis shows even more. Take it from me.
Why?
You know,
yeah. It accentuates the balls.
Like a well hung dude can stick it down the side of the leg. You know, like the guy in Journey used to. And
John Hamm.
Yeah. But a guy like me that's kind of mid-range, it just sticks straight out. You can't tuck it anywhere.
You're perky.
Yeah.
Aw. Look, Lex's cock is happy.
They say they've said various times what the average penis size is. That's me. I have nothing. I'm not horrible. I'm not good. I'm just like apparently several million Americans.
You don't have a micro penis.
I don't have a micro penis, but I don't have a huge penis. I just have a penis. It's not a special penis. Nobody's going to talk about it. I mean, it's sad. It's not going to get talked about. It's not going to get talked about for being too small or too large. It just goes in anonymity.
It just is.
Yeah, it's just, girls kind of look at it throughout my life and have looked at it like, yeah, okay, I can work with this.
With a little shading and lighting.
Never have I had the pleasure of a girl going, wonder what that's like.
You're going to put that inside me? Is it going to hurt?
Yeah, I'm going to bust you the fuck up, bitch. That's when I wish I was just some Lex the Impaler porn, big black dick porn guy. Just talk shit to girls. Yeah. You want to bust your pussy up, bitch? You shut the fuck up.
Now, in the course of your sexual life, I know, and anyone who's listened to this podcast regularly knows that you prefer to be in charge.
Yeah, I like that.
Sexual forays. Have you ever dabbled in being more submissive and letting her take charge?
No, because I never trusted anybody. My wife was like, "Come on, let me tie you up." I didn't trust her. I realized one night, it's like, come on, man, what the fuck? Why not let her have some fun? And then I just kept going back to, she'll grab some fucking camera or something, or do, and then I'll be painted as something I'm not, and, she'll show her friends or whatever. I always just went, no, I'm not fucking doing that. Not with you anyway.
Have you ever heard of, it's called a chastity device that you place on a man, and it kind of locks his dick up?
No.
Have you ever heard of this?
No guy wants a chastity thing for his dick.
Oh, they do.
We
though.
Want our dicks to reign free.
They do if they're very, very submissive.
I'm not locking my dick up.
It's this thing that, like, it kind of goes around your balls, and then it that some of them are either like solid plastic or they're more like a cage, but then it goes over your penis and then like the woman would lock it up and then she's got the key.
I'd be the worst submissive guy ever. Even tied up, I'm like, you suck this dick. You do it. What do you mean I have no power? Fuck you.
But once this is on you, you can't touch your penis anymore. Now, there is a little hole at the end, so like you can tinkle and stuff, but you can't touch it. So
all that shit means nothing to me. I guess you can call me boring and bad or whatever the fuck it is, but I just have no interest in wearing shit and, I just don't. I suck, I guess.
Well, these devices really fascinate me. I would really, really, really someday like to place that upon someone. Not directly, but have the key and like hold that control and be like, no, I don't think you really did a good job cleaning the house today, so I'm not taking that off you today.
See, I don't want to pay for a bunch of guys like her daddy and her boyfriends and her brothers and all the shit they fucking did to her to put her in a mindset of where she has to be in control of some dude, least of all the one that did the less, offensive thing to her, like date her and take her to dinner. I don't want to sit there and have my shit locked up because dad was an asshole. I just don't.
So you're saying the only reason a woman could be a powerful, controlling woman is because she was touched by an uncle when she was
Saying the only reason a woman has the desire to do that is because she's been controlled by a man when she didn't want to be at some point. Yes, I'm saying that.
So does that mean you were controlled by your mother?
In what way? Sexually?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess whatever way you're saying that if a woman, wants to
you do
be
what your fucking
control,
mother says till you're, 13, 14, and until you become a little asshole? Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
That's kind of interesting to look at it that way. Maybe that's why men do tend to be more dominant. That's interesting. You said something interesting, Lex. I'm going to have to look into that.
I say a lot of things that are interesting.
Of course,
but
you do.
But when you're for one thing, a son and a mother have the same connection a daughter and a dad do. It's just different. It's like my mom was a very understanding woman and very cool woman, but she also, ran the house.
Right.
She stayed home. The house was her domain. That my dad let it be her domain. It's like pretty much what she said went with me and my sister. Until I got older and started getting a mind of my own and started reasoning with her and arguing with her and everything else. Up until that point, it's like, yes, ma'am.
And that's when you became interesting, I'm sure.
I don't know.
It's when you start like having your own opinions that a parent kind of goes, okay, now you're fun. This is what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, I mean, she certainly didn't want her kids being wallflowers by any means. So, we were never discouraged from even swearing at times or anything like that. I mean, sometimes around the dinner table and kitchen when we were preparing meals, if I had like a girlfriend over at the house, or early in my marriage, Sandy be over at the house, it's like, be like, hey, you're burning the fucking steaks. What the fuck? That type of stuff. And it's like, well, I'm working on the fucking potatoes over here. You're supposed to look at the fucking steaks and fuck, and that's just the way I was raised around all that.
I was 39 years old the first time I heard my mom use the word fuck.
Yeah. Oh, my
and
mom
it
used
stood
to
out
say,
that much that I know how old I was.
My mom used to say stuff to me. I bet I was 9 or 10. And she goes, why do you hang out with that little fucker? All he does is make you miserable. What the fuck?
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, and that's just the relationship we had. But they raised me well enough to not let me say it in front of others. I got my ass handed to me if somebody came over and I even went in that direction.
There's a time and place for everything.
Yeah. So, you know, they definitely, within the house, gave us expression and gave us a seat at the table. You know, it's not like we were, you know, completely, you know, had to do everything they say. They'd let us say anything, but in the end, they had veto power. You know,
see, it's funny because I didn't know that about you at that time. But one of the times that I hung out with your mommy when we were at the strip club, and we were in the limo, and you're sitting next to your mom, and you're just fuck, and she's sitting there just looking like this adorable little old lady, you know, this little white-haired grandma who is dressed all nice and everything, and I'm just sitting back watching you just swearing up a storm. Yeah. And I was like, that's so funny, because she's just like, okay.
Yeah, she didn't have white hair. She never had a gray hair on her head. She was amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that your mom? What other, like, older woman would you have had with you?
That was my mom had dark hair till she died.
Really?
Yeah. She sure did.
Yeah, I put more into that whole her being a cute little grandma thing than I thought.
No, she wasn't a cute anything. There's nothing cute about
her. Yeah, I thought she did. I remember, you know, like just thinking she's just adorable.
No, she actually was a very maddening person, qualities of which are displayed by my daughter. It's frightening me because my mother had no governor in even during times when she should have. Like, for example, going out of the nursing home that she worked at, she was the administrative nurse there, ran the whole show. She's walking out with two women that were friends of hers / co-workers. And some guy gets out of the car in the parking lot and puts a gun on three of them and says, give me your fucking purse. The other two ladies hand it over. My mom says, no, I'm not giving you my fucking purse. And he's like, give it to me. And she's like, no, I'm not giving it to you. And she's like, grow a set of balls and take it. He goes, but I'm not giving it to you. And the other two ladies, of course, are scared shitless and so furious with her, they were never friends after that. And she's like, you know, I was right in that situation. I said, no, you weren't.
No.
I said, you don't have a great deal of finances, you know, to protect in that purse. There's nothing.
But see, that's what I would be thinking. It's like, okay, I'm going to have to get a new driver's license. I'm going to have to cancel all of these credit cards. Oh, God, all my keys, all the locks are going to have to be changed at the house, you know.
Well, she said all that. You know, she was like, you know, what am I going to do? Say, give me my keys and my license and take the rest? I'm like, yeah. If you're gonna defend yourself, it's like, look, say, yeah, you can have it. Don't make me get a new driver's license and keys and shit. Come on. You know. If you got a guy sitting there reasoning with you while he's holding the other two women's purse, you know, and he's like looking around, he's like, give it to me. She's like, no, I'm not giving it to you. I'm not giving you my purse. You know, do whatever you have to do.
Now, how did your dad react to
that? He was already passed away at that point.
Oh, okay.
You know, and she's like, I was in the right. I said, no, you weren't in the right. You put two other people's lives in danger and you over a fucking purse. You want your friends to die over a fucking purse? Really? No, you were not in the right.
It depends on how expensive the purse
and
is,
that,
too.
It wasn't. You know, she's an old lady living off some retirement and some, you know, Social Security, and she was, you know, fine to be by herself and comfortable, but she by no means had anything in there that was worth dying over. And sure enough, you know, these two ladies saw her as putting their life at risk and were pissed. I didn't blame them.
Maybe she had your dad's ashes in there.
And I went, and she still wouldn't have given a shit. She, you know, and I went to these two ladies, and I said, look, you got to understand what she's like. She can't help herself. This was not a decision. That's just who she is. And they were like, I don't care. She put our lives in danger. She, you know, it was irresponsible. And I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
But in the end, she had it her way. She didn't have to give up her shit, and nothing happened to her. The guy pushed out.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But 9 times out of 10, it doesn't go that way.
Right. I wouldn't take that as an example for anyone listening and go, well, Lex's mom did it, so I'm going to do it.
No, I'm here telling you, do not do that. I was blown away she did that. I haven't talked to anybody about that story that didn't see it everyone else's way but hers.
Right.
With two other people's lives on the line. Now, by yourself, that's your decision. But with those two ladies there, you know, that guy could have killed all three of them.
Right.
You know?
No, I agree. When it's just you, you make your decisions. Yeah. You're an adult. Yeah. You're a grown up. You figure out if it's worth it to do it. But as soon as anyone else, whether it's an adult or a child, is involved, don't be selfish. It's not you anymore.
Well, you know, Samantha's the Gene Staley starter kit. She makes those same types of decisions. You know, I saw it early. You know, getting on horses she shouldn't have been getting on. Doing things, you know, taking risks, you know, that...
Killing hobos just because
that,
she could.
That involved other people and stuff, you know, just... You know, just like her. And so that's the only way I can explain it. and fully believes 100% she's right. That, you know, everyone else is wrong and she's right. No, it's not good girl. It's fucked up.
Well, it's obviously a girl who doesn't have daddy issues.
No. I let her watch football with me and do things with her. Of course, she has no daddy issues.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter, you know, again, kind of proving the point. If you're a strong woman, that does not necessarily mean that you had the three-finger twat punch happening at home.
No. Huh. By the way, new band name. Yeah. It's one of the best band names ever. Tonight at the Coliseum, headliner, five-finger death punch, backup band, three-finger twat punch, a double punch of rock. Very nice, Stacy.
Thank you.
So, I mean, I just wonder why there's some chicks that come along that have to exercise that type of control. Because it always gets painted in the movies like they were done wrong somewhere.
Well, and I think you can also just be that way sexually, but not necessarily be that way in quote-unquote real life.
Very seldom do I see that, though. I just don't.
You know.
Very seldom do I see that. It's actually kind of weird that the two don't go hand in hand. I haven't seen a chick that's like all sparkles and rainbows and then gets you in the bedroom and, you know, put these on. Do what I say. That's all. I personally haven't seen it. I'm sure it's feasible, but chances are if I got to delve into the background of some of these sick and control bitches that somewhere along the line, daddy's hand slipped.
It was 30 seconds of under the clothing.
Prom night, you know, was the offensive line of the high school football team or something.
My life on the mat.
Yeah, there you go.
The wrestling team and me.
Me and all weight classes. So that's all. I don't like in control, bitch. I immediately just sense psychological problems. It has nothing to do with the bedroom. It really translates to me as, okay, I'm gonna at some point I'm gonna pay for what some fucking asshole did to you, and I just want to leave now.
But I do believe that if a guy is a submissive man, you know, that the idea of, oh, I'm gonna pay for this, probably is very exciting for them, as they're also having this contraption put on their penis.
But I remember I worked with this chick one time. She was just sweet as pie, you know, just sweet as pie, Southern girl and everything. And we were on a sales call. And it was at one of these like sex shops or something. And there was like one of those leather assassin looking masks, you know, that.
Nice.
And she goes, ooh. I said, oh, yeah? What's so ooh about that? She goes, oh, I don't know. It just, you know, just, it's kind of cool to be, to think about being, you know, taken by some guy wearing that mask or, you know, and I just went, really? Where in your fucking background did that come from? Scarlett O'Hara. Like, I don't know.
I don't think you.
You know, I just wonder where girls' sexual DNA comes from as far as the way they like to have sex and the stuff they fucking imagine. And I'm totally fascinated by it.
But at the same time, and I understand what you're saying, I do. Do you then turn around and point that finger of introspection onto yourself? Because obviously things in your life had to have shaped your sexual being as well.
No, I don't feel it has. I really don't.
Then why does that have to affect women in the same way?
Because, Stacey, guys just want to come, okay?
I know.
Okay.
I am well you aware, know, probably where, more than you.
Where you guys want to as well, but you use your minds a lot to do it. The disconnect in sex in the bedroom is men don't give a fuck about emotion or about, you know, some sort of twisted, fucked up scenario. We just don't. We just want to hit that pussy. And we will go through anything to do it, meaning your reindeer games and whatever twisted fucking shit you have to a certain point. And that's always been my outlook on it. It's like I kind of sense what they like, and like a good dude, I try and give it to them.
Well, good.
That's it. And, you know, but on my end of things, bitch, you don't need to wear shit. Your body looks great. Your face looks great. That's what I was attracted to. And if I can lay you down and have sex with you, I'm good. If I can give you pleasure and drive you crazy, that turns me on and makes me want to have more sex. But really, really, if you just looked at me in the eye and said, you got 10 minutes and we're done, I'd be like, yeah, okay, my feelings aren't hurt. Where you guys are in the fetal position in the corner if it's the other way around. If we were,
I don't think so. I disagree with you on that.
Oh, God. It's like if I haven't handled situations right in the bedroom, I pay dearly. I don't care who the chick is. If I don't respond properly to whatever twisted, fucked up thought they have in their head, it never turns out good. If I don't sense what's going on and play it right, I'm fucked.
Well, I'm sorry you've had these experiences, Lex.
It's not just me that has them, Stacey. You know, it's hard to talk to you about this because you and I have had talks over the years, and you have a sexual appetite that's not most like most chicks. You're kind of like a dude with your sex. I'm sorry, but you are. You're kind of sexually sociopathic. You just are.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. And And, you know, so it's hard for you to see that most chicks are much less predatorial than you are.
Okay.
You know, I've dealt with a lot of Prince Charming syndrome, you know, the girl that want, you know, the rose petals and the romance and the and all that happy shit. You know,
I've never asked for rose petals or happy.
No, you don't ask for it. We're supposed to perceive you want it. That's the fucked up part about it.
I gotcha.
Not all of you want it, but we have to kind of fucking guess what kind of chick you are, what it is that turns you on, makes you work, what you like. It's fucking daunting. I hate it. Now,
from a female standpoint, though, I can tell you that, and this is just on average, again, obviously there's always different things, but for a chick who is at a bar and maybe isn't like a total whore, but, you know, has been known to have a one night stand here and there, you're hooking up with this guy. It's obvious this is going to happen. You go back to whoever's place to do it. And for the chick that first time, unless there is some like really deep emotional connection that has happened over, you know, your drinks and stuff, it's pretty much all just a performance. I mean, yeah, she might enjoy it. She might get off and, you know, from a technical standpoint, everything is okay. But, you know, we're worried about, you know, what is he seeing? Is he seeing my belly right now? You know, how do my tits look in this bra? Oh my God. You know, there's just, why did I wear these panties tonight? You know, there's all that shit going on.
Oh God.
To make you guys happy.
Well, you should have thought about that before you hoed out. Should have wore the right panties. You should have had the right bra. You know, your lack of preparedness is not my problem.
Okay.
But just know
you're
this.
You're missing the point.
Just know that. No. Just know this. We don't give a fuck. We're about to have a naked bitch in our bed who wants to fuck us. That's all we care about.
Yes, but you know what? You know what we women know, though, is especially if it's someone who maybe is like a friend of a friend. So there's a chance that they're going to be around, not necessarily with me. Like, I'm not looking for, okay, we're going to date now or anything. But I know that there's a chance I'm going to run into this person and people that they know. We know that you guys talk, the whole locker room thing. And do you really want it getting back to you that, you know, this guy that you fucked 2 weekends ago was sitting there talking about, you know, I don't even know, your tits and how saggy they were, or just whatever you guys do when you're ripping apart the chicks that you fucked.
See, I wasn't a kiss and tell type of guy, so I think you guys figure every guy is, but they're not.
But we can't take that chance. I mean, you know what I mean? You don't know that, especially in a one night stand kind of thing.
Spread your fucking legs, you know?
Well, then don't try getting women to do it if you're going to go fucking tell everybody about it.
Well, then don't do it if we're doing it.
Well, neener, neener.
If you sense that we're some sort of tell-all type of guy, then don't fuck us.
But see, there's the thing then, too. There's always you guys that are the psychopaths who can turn the charm on, and you really seem like you're truly the nicest guy ever because you want to get in the pussy.
Oh,
and
back,
then after that, whatever.
You. Back at you as far as psycho goes, please. Why haven't you called me? I never said I was going to call you.
But that's the thing. If guys tell you you're going to call and then they don't, that's what pisses chicks off.
I'm talking about chicks that made it abundantly clear this was a one night thing. So you're like, okay, you know, I guess that's how you roll. And then you run into them a month later. It's like, oh, I see how you are. I follow instructions. You know,
I will tell you, and I've told guys this before, friends of mine and stuff. And here is a chick thing that I'm sure you figured out. But 95% of the time, chicks will tell you what you want to hear. Because we hope, you know, we will do what we can to be cool, to make this seem like just as casual as possible, because we know that's what you want. But our hope, always in the back of our minds, is that eventually, if we keep doing this and you see how awesome I am, you might actually become attached to me and want to take it further.
Yeah, listen, I never left that out of the equation with any chick. I don't sleep with chicks I don't like. I just never did. You know, just to get pussy, I'd rather go home and spank it than deal with a chick that I have no interest in.
But see, a lot of guys do.
Yeah, but I don't, so I don't comprehend any of this. Any chick, I can safely tell you, any chick I've ever taken home, you know, had the inclination that I liked them.
Well, good. That is a good thing.
That there is a connection. There's something besides your body that wanted me to have sex with you. You know, that you know, your laugh or our jokes at the bar or just the fact you could hang or whatever. There's something that went home with me besides your physical being. Because
there are men that sit there and go, okay, she looks vulnerable. I hear she's just gone through a divorce. I bet you I can fuck her tonight.
Yeah, I had friends that looked at it like that, and I just never got that. It's like what? Why do you want that on your hands at the end of the night tonight? When you can go home and watch Cinemax and end this in a few minutes, why do you want to? Why the fuck do you want to deal with that? I don't. I never did. I guess I'm just a lazy fuck who never wanted to deal with a bunch of drama and bullshit. But I wasn't sport fishing. I just was looking for somebody interesting, and if they were, and it proceeded to the next level where we went home and had some sex or whatever, great. Chances are, I can't even think of a chick that happened where I didn't at least see her a couple times afterwards.
Well, honestly, and that makes you a good guy. Really, I'm not being snarky or anything, you know. But unfortunately, that is not the moral code of ethics that some guys live by.
And I've had chicks who I never talked to again, but that wasn't my play. That was theirs. You know, it was right. Just, you know, I'd make a phone call, leave a message. And if I didn't hear back, I'd maybe try one more time. If I didn't hear back, it's like, okay, that's fine. That only happened a couple times.
And it is totally okay, too, for chicks to be that way. I mean, again, that is kind of the code of a one-night stand. You know, if you had a chemistry, if you dug it, and hopefully you both did, that's how you hook up.
Listen,
you know?
You didn't make me spend, you know, $400, $500 on three or four dinner dates to find out you don't give up the pussy. You know, you took me home, you had sex with me, and you decided that I wasn't for you to move further with. That's fine. I never took that personally.
Good.
You know, would I be a little hurt because I liked the chick more and she liked me? Yeah, for a few days. You know, but I'd run into him.
With most things.
I'd run into him in a club somewhere down the line and everything would be fine. It'd be cool. No tension, no drama.
Because you didn't get all weird.
No, huh? Buy him a drink, maybe, just because you spread your legs for me, you know. Maybe you will again. I don't know.
Lex gets his little pocket notebook out and says, okay, shoot, three drinks. That's all it will take.
Yeah, I didn't need a pocket.
Sex journal.
I didn't need a pocket notebook. There weren't that many women. But, but you know, I could see where there's other guys that fuck it up for me. There's no question. I completely get chicks being on the defensive and being careful because I've seen some of my friends be completely, for lack of a better word, selfish about their sexual needs and not really caring about the outcome as far as, you know, how she feels about it and how it is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And likewise, understand guys when you know, come across a psycho chick, stop and wonder what made her psycho. What happened? What guys did to her to make her psycho? There's usually a backstory there.
Yeah, Dad.
No. It was your friends who were, you know, hunting them so they could put a notch on their bedhead.
I mean, God knows, you know, what the situation is with most chicks you end up with, but you can't worry about it. You really have to trust your instincts when you're with somebody the first time and realize what you're dealing with. The signs are there. The signs are there immediately who you're dealing with.
Unless they are a true socio/psychopath. And at that point, it's really not your fault. Everyone gets fooled by them.
Well, my rule there is, you know, say like you know, in my case, I'm looking at a 40-year-old, you know, beautiful woman, you know, who seems to have nothing wrong with her. And you don't get how she's single or alone, and you think in your mind, okay, this one's really fucked up.
Which is also not fair then for the, like, you know, three really beautiful women out there who were career-oriented and, you know, just never really wanted to date because they never met anyone who really turned them on.
Yeah, and then you just find out the goods. You know, I'd say about five or six times in, you get to see the cards of anybody, and even if they're sociopaths, and it sucks. You know, because some sort of intuition you had about them comes true, and you're like, oh, God. You know, you know going in, especially at my age now, you know going in, there's going to be some sort of baggage. You just don't know what it is. Be it kids, be it a jerk-off ex-husband, be it financial, be it you know, family. Something's fucked up somewhere. Very seldom do you just run the table and get the chick that just happens to be older, has her shit together, and everything is cool. You know, you run through the checklist, and she's like, yeah, good. No, I love my family. Yeah, yeah, my ex and I are, you know, don't see each other anymore. We get along, you know, trade the kids. It's all good. You know, it's very seldom do you find that.
Right. I know, I do understand that, but it's not fair to label that person out there that is cool like that, like, as damaged goods. You just need to figure it out for yourself, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, when I say damaged, everybody at a certain age is going to have something that doesn't sit well with you. It may be minute, right. It may be huge, but do keep in mind, to keep an open mind when you're older, that you've had more time to screw up. You've had more time to let people into your life that make your life difficult. You've had more time to do everything. You've pretty much seen the gamut. So you do realize somebody's going to have something about them where you're just going to go, okay, there it is.
And
I'm including me in that mix, and not just.
I have actually dealt with sociopaths before, and if you read about them online, you know, and do a little research, one of the things that I actually always look for when I meet someone, and I'm not even talking about like in a sexual dating, but just like as a person in general, sociopaths and psychopaths can't feel or express emotion like normal people do. They just don't feel it. It's like they're dead inside. And what they have learned to do in their lives is to mimic emotion really well. But I have learned in the people that I have met that I truly believe are sociopaths, that there's always that one thing they can't mimic correctly.
Yeah.
And that's what I always watch for me when I'm meeting someone, just a potential new friend, work person, whatever. I just sit and I watch. And if something doesn't ring true in the way they react to something, I always just kind of sit back and go, oh, you're one of them. And then I will watch further for more proof that they are, in fact, a sociopath. And at that point, I deal with them as little as possible.
Yeah, but to me, some people just handle things differently.
I understand that too, but you will know if you see it happen. It just doesn't ring true.
Like,
as opposed to, wow, that's just fucked up.
Like, I don't cry at funerals. I didn't cry at my mom's. I didn't cry at my, you know, good friends, my dad's. I just don't cry at funerals.
Okay, but you know what? A sociopath, though, would fake cry because they would think that's what they're supposed to do.
And you know, it's like it's uncomfortable for me because people are, like, looking at me. It's like, hey, this is your mom. You're not, like, riddled by this. But, you know, it processes in me differently. Like, you know, I could be driving down the road and have a thought about my mom and just tear up, you know, or you know, but in situational things like that, I do not perform well. Weddings, funerals, I'm just not acting right. And people are looking at me and it feels like, you know, like, you know, Terry and I went to a funeral together of a friend of ours we worked with. And it's like all we could think about was him when he was alive. You know, he died of cancer, and he was in our fantasy football league. And all I could think about was the day after the fantasy football draft when one of the guys said, hey, you know, you think you're going to make the playoffs? He goes, I think my team will.
Was that Andy?
Yeah.
Good for him.
And it's like he kind of looked over at me and smiled, you know, like, you know, and Terry and I were like the only two people in the room that laughed about it. Well, at the funeral, that's what I was thinking about.
Oh, and you burst out laughing. Did you, Lex?
A little. In the meantime, his pregnant girlfriend.
Oh, Nancy.
Yeah. His pregnant girlfriend is looking over at us with a scowl on her face. Only to find out later that baby wasn't his.
Wasn't it black or something?
Yeah, I seem to remember something like that. I just remember it. She had to come clean and go, okay, it's not his. Yeah. That's all I remember. But it's like, you know, you judgmental bitch. At least I'm remembering an endearing time where we were in a room laughing about a really dark joke, you know, about a guy right. about a guy who didn't know he was going to make it and joked about it, you know, and it was a close moment between three people that got the joke, and that's what I was thinking about at the funeral, and I caught so much shit for that. You know,
was it a big boisterous laugh or just more of like a quiet chuckle to yourself?
It was just a quiet chuckle to myself.
It wasn't one of your Lexi.
And Terry was having the same thought. So here's Lex and Terry at the time, a very famous radio show, laughing at a funeral.
You should have turned that into a commercial.
We did.
I know.
Yeah. So... it was, you know, there's all kinds of hypocrisy. There is.
I know. Some of the best funerals I've ever been to, and by best, I mean like the ones I feel that really rang true to the people that they were for, you know, is when someone is able to give a eulogy and through tears can tell you something about this person that makes everyone laugh. Everyone, if you can, like Dolly Parton said in Steel Magnolias, laughter through mm-hmm. tears is the greatest emotion, you know.
That's
a good thing.
My mentor, who was a guy I worked for in California for 3 years, years later he passed away. And everybody was telling stories about him at the funeral. It was awesome. I mean, great, just great shit. Funny stuff, belly laughing stuff.
I know, and that's awesome, isn't it?
And you know, it was my turn to get up there. And I said, Eli always told me that he wanted Van Halen to play his funeral. Little did we know the band would die before he did. I mean, it was like a roast, you know? Yeah. And of course, all these music industry people there, and it's like everybody just uproar of laughter, you know? I mean, it was awesome. I mean, it's like there's all these one-liners like that. I mean, I'd never had a better time at a funeral, ever.
And, you know, it was something special to remember this person, because I know that this person meant a lot to you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a wonderful way. You honored them in the best way that you could.
Yeah, I mean, when my dad was sick, you know, I was out there in California. I wasn't making a lot of money. I really wasn't. I was stressed out because I knew I needed to go back to Jacksonville and help my mom and watch over this situation more than I was. And, you know, my life wasn't exactly in order. I was just a fucking mess. And he flew me back 6 or 7 times.
Aww.
5 of which first class.
Aww.
You know, because family meant a lot to him. And, you know, he was trying to instill that in me. He's like, hey, this is your fucking dad. You need to go back. You know, if I have to fly you first class to make it right for you. And I'm like, no, you don't have to fly me first class. But you know what?
No, I'm not going unless you do.
I'd get a ticket. He'd say, you need a ticket to go back. I'm like, yeah, I better go back and check on things and everything. And sure enough, his assistant would come in and lay a ticket on me in my name, and it'd be 5 out of 6 times it was in first class. And the other time, I paid for myself, you know. So he made stuff important to me that should be important that at the time wasn't, you know. I just wasn't a good family person, and I had to go back and deal with my family, and I'm so glad I did, you know, because it meant a lot as I raised my own kid and got my own family and all that stuff. I mean, it was huge. This guy had a bigger impact on my life than anybody I can think of.
Aw. So, you're very lucky to have had a person like that
in
your life.
Yes, you know, but here I am at his funeral, the guy that probably means the most to me, and that was my eulogy.
And it was perfect. I'm sure he knew that about you.
And I knew he was cool with it. His son was cool with it. His family was cool. His son and I are still friends to this day. He was just like, that's fucking hilarious. He would have loved that. Yeah, so it's just all in what you make of it. It really is.
Yeah.
So I don't know where this is going, but you know, we were supposed to talk about lesbians and yogurt.
Yogurt, lesbian yogurt.
Sorry, it took us 50 minutes to get to that.
The yogurt brand Chobani apparently has some sort of commercial. Of course, I don't have TV, so I can't verify this, but has some sort of TV commercial that involves lesbians. Well, it's alluded that they're lesbians because they're both in various states of undress. One is like sitting up in bed, the other's like laying in bed, and apparently they're eating yogurt, mm-hmm. and they're kind of smiling and laughing with each other, and then one strokes the other's foot.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 Million Moms, a group that's all about family, is...
You cut out
they
after,
think Shabani.
You cut out after family.
They think that Shabani should be ashamed.
A sunspot.
Yes. That's exactly what that was.
They think Shabani should be ashamed?
Yes, they should be ashamed of their latest commercial for attempting to normalize sin by featuring two women naked in bed together. The newest commercial for Shabani yogurt has two nude women in bed while one lovingly strokes the other's foot. This commercial not only promotes same-sex relationships by including two lesbians, but also same-sex marriage because the two women wear matching wedding bands. The ad states to love this life is to live it naturally. And then they say there is nothing natural about homosexuality.
If I'm Shabani's spokesperson, I'm going to say, obviously we didn't get the message across we're selling yogurt here. Well, we need to do a new commercial because obviously we didn't get across this is a yogurt commercial.
Well, the last part of their little statement says, what does selling yogurt have to do with gay sex? Nothing at all, but Shabani wants to make the association. 1 million moms continues to stand up for biblical truth, which is very clear in Romans 1:26-27 about this particular type of sexual perversion.
Here, let us make you more comfortable. How about a big splotch of the white yogurt all over her face? Whoops!
They could
have
recreate.
The other girl go, so that's what that looks like.
Ew!
Oh, no wonder we're lesbians with yogurt.
They should recreate the Justin Verlander Kate Upton.
Yeah, they should in lesbian style.
You need to have tub upon tub upon tub of yogurt too.
You know, where she's like, you know, got her fingers in her, and when she's ready to go, she just throws the yogurt on her chest. It's like that's as close as we're gonna come, babe. You know. This is supposedly what it's like on the other side. Shabani.
Oompa.
Yeah. All right. So they joined Wells Fargo in the sights of activist groups, I guess. You know, the two lesbians.
I don't even call that activism, though. I think that's understanding that, you know what? That's just the way it is. There is nothing wrong with
it's not like there's some taboo lesbian couple somewhere and they're bringing it to light. Everybody knows about it. Everybody, you know, it's like it's crazy.
Yep.
The fact that they can even get away with making a stink about it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is America.
To bring the Bible into it.
But hey, there's rules everywhere. Like we need to go ahead and close this up before the hour hits. So let's do that. Number 60. Great podcast, Stacy. A lot of fun. We'll see you for 61 next time. This is Lex and Stacy saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.